Well, good morning, everyone. I come to the presentation today actually with kind of a few different caps on. One, having been a funder, which I'm hearing the funding question quite a bit out here, and the sustainability of funding, which actually what I'm going to be talking about talks about sustainability after the funding and how you connect with different partners so that the program can be sustainable and so that you create that sustainability through the process of the funding so that you don't just end and then you have programs stopping, in which I'm sure many of you out there have had that that happen to you. So today I'd like to acknowledge in the audience I have my colleague Brandon Light, who also can answer some questions as we move forward. So Brandon, you want to just wave and smile at everybody. And my other colleagues that have worked on this process with me are Dr. Gerald Monk, Mayumi Douglas, and Alejandra, who is very essential to the project that we are going to be working on. I have nothing to disclose. I'm going to be talking about a project that, I don't like to call it a project, actually an initiative within City Heights, because an initiative is something that stays and lasts a lifelong time rather than a project that comes and ends, and sometimes ends with the funding. And none of us are really happy when that happens. So City Heights is in San Diego. San Diego is in the state of California. San Diego is a border town. It borders Mexico. In City Heights, it's a population of about 75,000. It is a refugee resettlement area. We speak, we have about 81 different languages and dialects in City Heights. In about 9 square miles is that 75,000 population. It is about 70% Hispanic. The next population down would be Asian, African, and then we have those from Myanmar or Burma, less than 1% Caucasian, just to give you kind of just a picture in your mind about what this population looks like. We do have 100% free reduced lunch. We do serve breakfast in the classroom in the morning. Our kids over the weekends go hungry. We do have backpacks that go home over the weekends, and we are year-round school, so during the months when we don't have school, we do have food delivery that come to our school campuses still so that our kids continue. I'm going to be talking about some work that has been done for the past 5 years, and what started out as a grant that was called the Wellness and Restorative Practice Grant, which then turned into the Trauma-Informed Community Schools Grant. It kind of went through an evolution, and it started out by having 4 different domains, one working on school climate, one looking at youth engagement, restorative practice, and the last that I'm going to be spending the rest of our time talking about was access to health care. That's mental health as well as physical health. In this 9 square miles, we do have 4 school-based health centers that act as feeder. We have feeder patterns in the district, San Diego Unified School District, that has clusters of schools. So in this area, there are 2 clusters of schools, and all the schools that are elementary and junior high school and high schools, they feed into these 4 different school-based health centers. We wanted to change the systems. We wanted to look at administration changes and curriculum and policy changes. There was a center in this community called the Center for Community Counseling and Engagement. And it was actually housed in City Heights, and it was ran by students from San Diego State University. It was not well used. It was actually the community. What is the problem that you see in a community that is a refugee resettlement area or a community that is highly Hispanic? What's the problem with mental health and access to care or going to care? What is the problem that you guys would identify or imagine? Trust, stigma. You're absolutely right. Are they going to go to a center? Hey, there's a center. Let me go. No. Absolutely. So we have the center there. We've got students there from San Diego State. Hey, I'm here to help you. Nobody came. Okay, so here's the center, and nobody's coming. I got students there twiddling their thumbs. They're just waiting. Interns, trainees, supervisors, with their professors, right? Learning from the books. They're all just eager, ready to help. Nobody's coming. So what do? We say, okay, I come from community. I'm in this community, and nobody's coming. So how do we get the community to, I guess, look within themselves and figure it out themselves? Because how well does it work when you say to a community, you need this? Does that work? Does that work, students out there? No, it does not work. So we started with that premise. We've got this building, we've got these students, but you know, we need to go out. So we started working with the school, with the schools there. We looked at this program that we had and we said, we've got to change. So we looked at the marriage family therapy program. They have a postmodern approach, which is about listening. It's not about counseling and saying, here's what you need to do. Here's the therapeutic intervention. Here's, you know, here's what you need to do. I'm going to counsel you. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. It's about listening, and it's about clients coming up with their own decisions and with their own ideas about what they need to do. We had interns, trainees, and supervisors. We had San Diego Unified School District. They have school counselors. They have school nurses. They have principals, teachers. We had to change the behavioral referrals. They had students that were being suspended. It's high crime. We had the highest rate of incarceration coming from this area. Had the highest rate of CPS. You name it, we had it in City Heights. So we started by transforming our internal process at San Diego State first and saying, what did we need to do? So we began by working with the school district and working with San Diego State University and their processes. Next, we said, who do we need? We needed Alejandra. We needed community. Alejandra and her family had come through the Center for Services. We started doing groups in the schools, and we started talking to our families and our parents. We started doing parent engagement. And through parents doing restorative practice circles and through counseling, their own internal traumas came up. And they said, I'm doing the same thing to my kids that were done to me. And if I don't stop that, they're just going to keep doing it. And so she sought help for her, her husband, her family, and then she decided she wanted to tell a friend who told a friend. And so we hired Alejandra as a community health navigator and brought her in. She was trained with the Community Counseling Center, with the MFTs, in restorative practice, in trauma-informed care, in trauma-informed practices. She started doing outreach with all the feeder schools, with the elementary schools, going to parent meetings, going to our wellness councils, going to each one of the parent meetings at each one of the different feeder schools, going to Hoover cluster meetings, talking with the school nurse, talking to parents about making referrals, influencing our referral process, what we needed to have on the referral process, we then looked at the center, we had multiple programs, not just the MFT program, but we had the marriage family therapy program. We had a program called Project Impact, which had counselors that could do one-on-one counseling with students. So then we had them come and join us in the schools. So they were doing one-on-one counseling with each of the students in each of our schools that were then aligned with the teachers and aligned with the principals, and our community health navigators came to those meetings with us. We created monthly meetings at each of the schools. We had our interns from MFTs become liaisons for their administration track that worked with us at each one of the schools that became part of the monthly team. We created counseling groups with each one of the MFT trainees that needed to have outreach with counseling, and we created parent support groups, both at the school and also at the center. With the MFT, with the MFT program at the center, we created a community wellness response team. Not only were we doing outreach at the center and at the school, but our MFT trainees and interns, we changed policy so that they could go into the homes of the parents or go into community and do counseling in the homes and the community. So if a parent didn't feel comfortable having counseling at school or going to the center, what I did was I was a home health and hospice nurse years ago. I looked at our policies of being a home health visiting nurse, and we created the policy of being a visiting counselor. So our counselors buddied up, and it was a learning experience the first year, but they buddied up and they went out to folks' homes. And as soon as they became comfortable with having enough sessions in their homes, then they handed them off to the center. So it was a very warm handoff to another counselor, or the counselor continued to see them at the center. So we created a connected system. We connected San Diego State's students with student learning or service learning at the CCCE with the school in their home. We brought all the programs that were fragmented together and placed them. We did collective impact. We said, okay, what are you doing and to whom, and where's the best place for you to be at? And so in creating a group of individual players, bringing them together, giving them sight to practice, and then creating a team at each one of the schools of providers that were already providing, going to provide, but just connecting all of their dots so that they could provide in a place. So from San Diego State University, we had school site visits, home visits, community visits, the visits at the center that were in City Heights, and then we had nursing visits at the school-based health centers. San Diego Unified School District had the school site. They had counselors, teachers. We implemented having ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences. They did the ACEs surveys to identify kids, send the referrals to the team. The team then triaged which organization needed to see this. Was it an individual child? Was it a family? The counselor and the school nurse, who might be there 2 days a week, might be there 1 day a week, were assisted with that triaging process. They helped with IEPs on site. The residents and the parents were at the center of this because of the school-based health centers and the community health navigator. So we created this process within City Heights and with all the school clusters. So we then added access to primary care and added the FQHCs that were serving all of these kids, and we linked up the mental health services and physical health services to the primary health care providers. The little feet pattern that you see here go from the school in the middle out to community, and the feet are my community health navigators. Growing together, so over the time that we started with the grant, over the years, this is just at the CCCE, that's the community center, we've gone from zero to now 192 visits. That actually goes, 192 families that are served now with behavioral health services. And we've received 132 referrals. Now that's referrals. That doesn't count the families. So one referral could be 5 in a family, could be 10 in a family. The average age in City Heights is 28. We looked at the North Carolina Family Assessment Scale, and my time is little, so I'll rush through these. In every single one of the assessment scales, this is parental capabilities, you can see where it goes from the parent saying it's a serious or moderate problem to where they're coming up with having some clear strength, mild strength, or adequate strength. So families are going from having it problematic to actually having strengths where the parents did not have strength before. You could see where the intake, the blue bar, to closure, going to the red bars, they're moving over to the left-hand side. So in conclusion, the key accomplishments, we created a coordinated, integrated model of mental and physical health services in a vulnerable community. Systems and policy changes happened at San Diego State University with curriculum, service-based learning model. We worked with 3 different colleges, the Colleges of Education, College of Nursing, and Juvenile Justice. San Diego Unified School District, our suspension rate at the school went from 20 to 0. One of the teachers said his referral rate to the principal's office went from 174 to 20. 174 to 20 in this last year. The FQHCs now are getting referrals from school, the community health center, and now to direct primary care. We've now created therapeutic support groups. Our CHNs, our community health navigators, our residents are flourishing physically, mentally, and socially. And you can see the changes when I see Alejandra, you just see the changes in her. And more specifically, it's sustainable because we've passed it over to all of the mechanisms that are in this community. We didn't put something on top of them. We just gave them a method of connecting it. And we're utilizing students that are not going away anytime soon. They will continue as long as San Diego State is there. And what community does not have a university or a college or a community college that you can connect to? So with special thanks to my wellness and restorative practice colleagues, my trauma-informed community school colleagues, Dr. Monk, Mayumi, Brandon, Unicia, Mona, my CWRT team, School of Nursing, Price Charities, and the California Endowment that gave us the funds to see if this would work. So thank you.